Right, tonight, 1 Kings chapter 18, as we continue to study the life of the prophet Elijah. We saw back in chapter 16 at verse 29, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. That would be the northern 10 tribes. Remember, Asa reigned for 41 years in Judah, and there were several kings that ruled in the north over the 10 tribes during that 41 years that he ruled the south. And so Ahab, the son of Omri, took over for his father. And he married a woman by the name of Jezebel, who was a foreign princess, and she brought the heathen worship into the northern part of Israel. And in fact, we will see that she attempted to kill off the prophets of God. She wanted the worship of Yahweh completely out of Israel. And Ahab, of course, in being disobedient by marrying a foreigner, somebody foreign to the law of God, was against God's word to begin with and his command. But it's causing problems. Elijah the prophet was raised up by God to bring the message and to bring judgment and to bring the message of God to the northern 10 tribes. We opened up chapter 17 last week, where Elijah the Tishbite went to Ahab and said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan." And so Elijah was down by the brook Kerith and was there, and he commanded that the birds of the air come and bring food for Elijah to eat, teaching Elijah before actually the big ministry of chapter 18, teaching Elijah that the Lord would provide for him, that the Lord commands and is in charge of all of nature, can provide for his very need, and of course fed him there until that part of the river dried up because of the drought. Then in verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, and go there, and that there would be a woman there." He says in verse 9, "I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Two beautiful texts so far, two things in chapter 17 that show what it means for the Lord to be God. Is that He can command the animals to bring food to you if He wishes. He will provide. Secondly, is that the Lord commanded the widow to provide food for Elijah. But you'll remember when Elijah came into the town and spoke to the woman, he found her gathering sticks outside of the gate and asked her for a cup of water. She went to get him a cup of water, and he says, "Also, could I have some bread with that?" And she said, "I only have enough dough left to make enough bread for me and my son before we die. It's the last food that we have. And so I don't have enough to give to you." So it's kind of interesting. The Lord commanded her. He already gave the command through life, just like He did with creation. In Genesis 1:1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God commands that someone has to do something, they're going to do it. They're going to provide for God's people if He wants them to. Now, the woman didn't receive the command. God just commanded her to do it. It's going to happen. Just go. But how many times, and how we learn from this, how many times we go because we believe that the Lord is sending us and we get resistance. So we kind of back off and say, "Well, you know, there's a negative here, you know." And so maybe God isn't providing. But, you know, Elijah just kept up because God had commanded it. God told him to go and said, "She will provide." She did not know that God had commanded it. She was resisting at first. But then Elijah came to her and said, "You provide for me, you'll never run out." And so she by faith believed what Elijah had to say, and they never ran out of food. But then her son died. And you remember, she came to Elijah and said, "Now I know that all this is because you're here. Because you're here, I've got these problems. Now my son has died. Because of some secret sin, God sent you here, and there's some secret sin that he's punishing me for. And so Elijah cries out to the Lord, and he spreads himself out on the boy, and he comes to life, and he returns the boy to his mother. And in verse 24 of chapter 17, "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth.'" Now as we start chapter 18, these are the preliminaries. Because chapter 18 is the famous chapter of the main emphasis of what God was training Elijah for in chapter 17, and now Elijah's ministry to the nation. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah," chapter 18, verse 1, "in the third year, saying, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.'" Now, 3 years had passed, 3 years of drought. Elijah had not seen Ahab for 3 years. Now God says, "And go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. And there was a severe famine in Samaria, literally from the Hebrew. Famine had gripped Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah. This is not the same one who wrote the Old Testament book by the name of Obadiah. This is a different Obadiah. This is the Obadiah that is second in command to Ahab. He is his right-hand man. So Ahab had called Obadiah, who is in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. "For so it was that while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord," that is, she cut them all, "that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and had hidden them 50 to a cave." These are the limestone caves that he hid the prophets in, "and had fed them with bread and water." So Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was out to kill the prophets of God. And those who were studying from the prophets, Obadiah took them and hid them in caves and fed them and gave them water so Jezebel wouldn't find them. She was on a rampage. She was looking for these people to kill, have them killed. "And Ahab had said to Obadiah, 'Go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock.' So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him." Always the way Elijah is. He suddenly arrives on the scene. And he suddenly leaves. And we will see in a moment that Obadiah knows this about Elijah. He hasn't seen him for 3 years, but he knows who he is. And the problem that he has with Elijah is, because Elijah is going to tell him to go tell Ahab that I want to see him. And the problem with Obadiah is he's going to say, "Yeah, what happens if you disappear again? What happens if you don't show up? That's going to be my neck." So all of a sudden, suddenly, while Obadiah was on his way, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and says, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." So he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" So he thinks that Elijah is going to take Obadiah before Ahab and reveal some secret sins to have him killed. "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, 'He is not here,' he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, 'Go tell your master Elijah is here.'" And so he says, Ahab has been so angry at you for these 3 years, as we'll see in a moment. Ahab blamed the drought on Elijah. that Elijah had God's word, that he spoke God's word, and that Elijah could undo this thing. So it was just Elijah's stubbornness, that Elijah had stopped the rain and then went and hid, like a little game, you know. And Ahab says, you know, the stubborn Elijah, if Elijah would just make it rain, we'd have water. So it's his fault. So he went and searched for Elijah and sent people out to the surrounding nations and made the eight nations take an oath that they did not know where Elijah was. And they didn't know where he was. And so he says, now you want me to go back and tell my master that you're here after he's been looking for you for 3 years? He is angry at you. And I'm supposed to go tell him you're here? Verse 12, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know, so that when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Here is a faithful man that God had. Isn't it interesting? Here's a place where one of God's people probably wouldn't want to be or shouldn't be. But the Lord has him there. So the circumstances themselves don't count. The Lord can put a faithful person in a very difficult situation where there is corruption all around. And he has this faithful servant there, and he's feared the Lord from his youth, and yet he served Ahab, faithful to the Lord, but on the other hand, the Lord had his faithful servant in this position for these very circumstances. So trusting the Lord and in the midst of difficult, hard situations, maybe working for a boss that's very difficult to work for, or even a non-believer. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 that the Lord suffered and left us an example that we should follow His footsteps, and that His grace is upon those who suffer. So he says, submit not only to the masters who are good, but also to the ones who are crooked. Now, submission doesn't mean do their sin, but it literally means don't look for a way out. Look for a way to serve the Lord. And so, a very difficult situation, but the Lord had one of His faithful servants there. It was Obadiah, His right-hand man. And Obadiah is confessing to Elijah, are you trying to say, did I do something wrong? Have I committed some sin that you would send me into my master to say that you're here? And certainly when I go say that you're here, the Spirit of the Lord is going to carry you away and we're never going to find you. You know, one of those hide-and-seek things. You appeared 3 years ago and you disappeared. We could not find you. So when I go to tell him and you've disappeared, then he's going to kill me. Okay, is that what's happening? Look, I feared the Lord. What sin have I committed? Why are you trying to set me up? You know, that was Obadiah's response. Verse 13. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 into a cave, and fed them with bread and water. So now he begins to recite to him. See, he still doesn't get it. He's being sent as a faithful servant. Elijah's not sending him for punishment here. He's reciting now for Elijah. Doesn't the Lord, my master, know what I did? I took the prophets of God and hid them and fed them. Doesn't that count for something? And now you say, go tell your master Elijah's here. He will kill me. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. And as I'm going to show. Don't worry about me not showing up. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Remember, Ahab and Obadiah had split ways to search out the country for water and for grass to feed the animals. And when they came back again, Obadiah had reported, guess who I saw? Guess who met me on the way? Suddenly appeared Elijah. You know, the one you've been looking for 3 years that you've said is responsible for all of this drought. He wants to meet with you. So Ahab goes and went to meet Elijah. Verse 17. Then it came to pass that when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? He blames Elijah for the whole thing. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, But you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Baal, of course, is the male god of the Canaanites, and Jezebel brought in Baal worship into the land. And Ahab, being an Israelite, was actually, you have to understand what's happening here. They haven't done away completely with the worship of God called Yahweh to the Jews or to Israel. They worship both. They had one foot in one camp and one in another. They actually had two different altars. And children of Israel were worshiping Yahweh, and then they were going over and they were worshiping Baal, which is the Canaanite god. And so he says, Elijah says, I have not done this. Now this is the first time. You remember at the beginning of the chapter, chapter 17, that Elijah just said it's not going to rain. And he left. Now for these 3 years, the Lord's been working with Ahab, and Ahab had to come to some conclusions as to why. Isn't it interesting that Obadiah, being a faithful servant of the Lord, serving in Ahab's cabinet, when Elijah shows up on the scene, and there seemingly is trouble coming over the horizon, that Obadiah cares about the Lord. What have I done? What sin have I committed? I think I feared the Lord. I mean, I cared about the Lord. I hid God's prophets for him. Is there something that I've done to cause this? You see, Elijah assures him, no, you haven't done anything. But on the other hand, Ahab is the one who has sinned. And what does he do? Does he come and say, O prophet of God, have I done anything to cause this? No. He says, Elijah, it's your fault. You know. And Elijah says, no, it is not my fault. You've done this. You have forsaken the commandments of God, and you have worshipped Baal. And by the way, it's the word Baals, plural. The many different ways of worshipping Baal, as they have all over the countryside. Now therefore, send and gather all of Israel to me on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel, the word Carmel means the land of the garden. The 450 prophets of Baal. Picture this. One prophet of God saying, bring 450 prophets of Baal. Now that's how many worship places they had in northern Israel. They had 450 prophets of Baal that led services for Baal. Bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah. The Asherah were the various statues and the female goddesses. Bring them all who eat at Jezebel's table. Well, she had them over at the house to banquet with these prophets. Hundreds of them that worship Baal and the Asherahs. Verse 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, here's one of the famous quotes, questions, verses of all the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Now the great question Elijah put before them, how long are you going to falter? Some translations say the word halt. How long are you going to halt or falter upon two opinions? Two words I want to point out to you that bring out the real good meaning of this text. The word falter or halt means to dance or to hop from and dance from one foot to the other. In fact, we'll see it in verse 26. When they call upon Baal, according to Elijah's challenge, they're going to dance around the altar. That's the same word that's used here. Going from one foot to the other, dancing back and forth. The second word I want to point out to you is the word opinion. The word opinions is the Hebrew word for the fork in the road. Okay? Two roads. right at the fork of the road, and he's picturing that they're dancing from one foot to the other. First of all, they're on this road, and then they put their weight on the other foot, and they're on the other road. They keep dancing between two forks in the road. This road leads to God, and this road leads to Baal. They say Baal is God. God says that Yahweh is God, not Baal. He says, how long are you going to dance and going from one foot to the other in the fork on the road about your decision making? If Yahweh is God, then serve Him. But if Baal is God, then serve Him. Make a choice. You've got one foot in the door and one foot out. You've got one foot in one camp and one foot in another. Make your choice and follow Him. But the people did not answer Him a word. Comes time for decision making. How long will you be double-minded? How long, you know, will you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and at the same time have your foot in the world? You can't make a decision going either way. Which way are you going to go? How long are you going to keep dancing back and forth between the two roads and the fork of the road? Hold your place, please, and turn with me to James. Same idea that James is presenting in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. At verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all freely and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose, the word suppose means presume, that he will receive anything from the Lord. That is, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded means to have your mind set on the world or on yourself or on the worries of the flesh and of the world, and your mind then sways back and forth to trusting the Lord, to worrying about the world and trusting the Lord. That person, according to the Bible, is called a double-minded man. Having faith in the Lord is not doubting and it's not wavering, going from one foot to the next. Having one's mind set on the worries that we're praying about and trusting the Lord for and going back to the Lord. The Lord says, don't let that person presume that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. The person is double-minded. A person is dancing, rocking back and forth from one foot to the other, on one road trusting the Lord and then back on the other foot being anxious and worried. God says that person cannot receive anything from the Lord because that's not faith. Faith is not trusting the Lord to work things out the way we want it to. Faith is putting it in His hands. That's what the whole New Testament's all about. I can just put it in a summary form. Trusting the Lord is putting it in His hands. Trusting Him with everything. It's not holding on to a situation with our worries and fears and asking the Lord to work it out our way or to intervene while we hold on and worry about it. No, that's not faith. 1 John chapter 5, real quickly, it shows us what the prayer of faith is. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 at verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I'll stop right there. Many people have asked, okay, if the promise of God's Word is that if we ask anything according to His will, we can have confidence that He hears us. But how do we know what His will is to ask? Well, that's not what the text is saying. The text is saying, literally, if we ask for His will to be done, He hears us. Lord, just let Your will be done. Whatever You want to happen, just let it happen. You say, well, how do I know to ask for that? If I don't know what His will is, I can't ask for it. Well, see, that's submission. We don't have to know what His will is. We're asking for His will to be done. Then it goes on to say, in fact, the promise is He hears us. Secondly, verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now what it's saying is, first of all, if I have submitted everything into His hands and I've asked for His will to be done, then I have the answer to my prayer. Whatever happens is the answer. That's it. The answer. That's what faith is. Faith is just putting it in His hands and just asking for His will to be done and receiving whatever's done as being His will. That's what faith is. Faith isn't getting involved in trying to make things turn out the way I think God wants them to or the way that I want them to. That's not faith. See? So the double-minded man, the person who's halting between two opinions, is the person who might believe in God. That is, might believe in Yahweh. But also carries, is a hold of their own life or is involved in another kind of worship that God commands in His Word not to do. And we have this false premise that if we believe in God, the God of the Bible, we're going to be okay. God says, if that's true, if that's what you believe, then the Lord says, the very first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, you shall have no other gods before Me. I'm the only one that you will serve. In order to worship Me, you must do it My way. You cannot worship Me man's way. It must be according to His Word. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The only way to worship Him is by God's Spirit and according to God's truth. There's no other way. He doesn't receive worship from man. Back to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah says, how long will you falter between two opinions? Their opinions being that Yahweh is God and Baal is God. They went to one service and went to another. How long are you going to have one foot one way and one foot another? If Yahweh is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, serve Him. But the people did not answer Him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, verse 22, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. He's emphasizing here that he's outnumbered. He said, I'm only one man, so that you can't say about what's about to happen. You can't say that it was like 450 against 450. Oh, your men were stronger. You know, I'm only one man, and the prophets of Baal are 450. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, He is God. It's interesting, too, that He's letting them go first. You choose the bull. You choose. I'll take whatever you don't choose. We'll prepare it the same. You put it on your altar and call on Baal to call fire down to light the underneath the sacrifice. I will call on God, that is Yahweh, to do the same thing. Whichever God answers, He is the true and living God. Then you call on the name of the Lord your gods, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, and the God who answers by fire, He is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of the Lord your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar. Here's the Hebrew word. The word leaped is the one, or danced is the one back in verse 21 for the word halt or falter. It means to hop back and forth. They were leaping. They were dancing from one foot to the other, circling the altar, trying to get Baal's attention. And they leaped around the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. Now, the Hebrew text pictures this. They are in a frenzy, leaping around the altar, trying to get Baal to answer. Elijah's over there like this. One man, he's sitting there going like this. Maybe he can't hear you. You know, maybe he's sleeping or busy. What is interesting, I want to point this out to you. One of the words that he used, the word busy in text, he says, cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he is busy. Is a Hebrew word that has that means he has turned aside, and the Jews used it for using the restroom. You know, maybe he's turned aside using the privy. You know, he'll be back in a minute, you know, I'm sure. Or else maybe he's away on a journey. Maybe he went to the store and he can't hear you yet, you know. And so Elijah's over there mocking him, said, I don't see any answer. Verse 28, so they cried aloud, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them, trying to get Baal to respond, even at blood. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There's no word evening in the Hebrew text. Until the sacrifice, this is probably the 3 o'clock prayers. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. In other words, you guys had your chance. Sit down. Now all of Israel come to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So apparently Jezebel had broken down the altar of the Lord. He repaired it. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs, that is 5 gallons of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So now he's making it even harder. So there's no questions asked here. He's pouring water over the sacrifice, and he's going to pour water over the trench all around the altar and pour water all over the place so that there's no mistaking. I mean, you're putting the fire out before it starts. You're making it impossible for man to even start a fire there. If there's a fire, it's got to be God. So he poured water on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. I mean, this place is drenched. So the water ran all around the altar, and it also filled the trench with water. Boy, there's no way this thing's going to be caught on fire. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the sacrifice, that would be around 3 o'clock, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Interesting, proof's in the pudding. Anybody can say, thus saith the Lord, but, you know, Elijah has put himself in a pretty hard situation here. If God doesn't answer, he's... But Elijah is claiming to be doing things according to the word of the Lord. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And so Elijah is saying, let the people know that this is your way, Lord, of turning them back to you. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. And what is interesting about that statement, that's what the word Elijah means. El, God is Yahweh. The statement is, Yahweh, He is God. Elijah is standing right there saying, that's exactly what my name means. That's exactly what I stand for. I serve Yahweh. Yahweh is God. So all the people, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Executed the prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 18 says that false prophets will come. But if that prophet speaks presumptuously that he was from the Lord and God has not sent them, he is to be stoned, executed. A person can't represent the Lord and be false. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time, which in the Bible is the number of completion or fulfillment, on the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud. Now, they haven't had clouds. Not only did they have not had rain, but they haven't had clouds for 3.5 years. He says, I see a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it came to pass in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Jezreel is the town. Now, here at the end, if you want to know what God has done through this man Elijah, I mean, that's a pretty powerful thing. I mean, God always fulfills His word. Elijah was putting his confidence in what God's word said. He was also putting his neck out on the line, too, because if God didn't consume the sacrifice, then Elijah would die. But God had already proven Himself to him in chapter 17. God commands everything. All Elijah had to do was just do what the Lord's word said, because God fulfills His word. And in chapter 18, Elijah was showing the confidence. But now Ahab went to Jezreel to join up with his wife Jezebel. And he was told to go there quickly before the rains come, or else his chariot's going to get stuck in the mud, you know, because it's going to rain so heavily. But the interesting thing is that Elijah ran ahead of his chariots to Jezreel. I measured the map as to how far Mount Carmel is to Jezreel, 17 miles. Elijah ran on foot and beat Ahab's chariots to Jezreel. God caused him to run and get there ahead of him. Next week, as we get into chapters 19 and 20, we're going to see Jezebel's anger over the fact that the prophets of Baal were executed and Yahweh has proved Himself to be God. Elijah, being a man, like just being a human being like you and I, here's a man who is not afraid of 450 prophets and not afraid to stand up for God's word, but he fears Jezebel. He runs. He runs from Jezebel when he hears that she's after him. And it's going to be an interesting episode, how God ministers to Elijah and how this whole scenario works out as Jezebel now takes center stage and she begins to pursue Elijah as Elijah did the 450 prophets of Baal, and how God takes care of Elijah in the midst of it all. So next week, Lord willing, 1 Kings chapters 19 and 20. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how You discipline us and train us like You do Elijah, to trust you in your word, that you will provide for us, that you have commanded our journey ahead of us. Even tomorrow, when we wake up tomorrow morning, you have commanded all things to take place the way you want them to for our entire day. You've been there ahead of us. And you have commanded the situations to be according to your will. Just teach us to trust you. Teach us to trust your word, that even if we get resistance or we think things are not working out, just teach us to trust you. And not to dance back and forth between two opinions. Not to be double-minded as James encouraged us. But teach us to trust you by faith. Because you are the one who's in charge of all things. You are the Lord God. And so we pray a prayer of thanks for the way that you teach us to live and trust you by faith. And for you keeping your word. You are a God who keeps his word. So just teach us to trust you and be obedient to your word, knowing that you, not us, you are going to fulfill everything that you've spoken. And we pray like Elijah, that we might represent you, that you are the Lord God and we are your servants. May we represent you and may we serve you and put our confidence in you as you gave Elijah the ability to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.